Welcome, everyone, to the latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I'm the Doc, John Macaroon, fresh off of a great vacation. Now it's the week of the Combine. The NFL world has now taken to Indianapolis to check out a plethora of great draft prospects, especially key for the Detroit Lions as they look to go into 2024 really off of the heels of a great 2023 season. The Lions have massive expectations. You can argue this draft is probably one of the most important for the franchise, and general manager Brad Holmes is the guy that definitely can be the leader that everybody can trust. And he's made it so that everybody can really relax and take in this combine in the best fashion. This week, we're going to talk a lot about the combine, and I'm going to bring you a bold, different draft strategy that maybe not a lot of people are talking about. After listening to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes this week, I'm thinking that they might take in this draft a little bit differently in the early rounds compared to what they've done in the past, maybe even differently than what everybody expects. And I look at it like this opportunity that the Lions have with the players that they're going to select, you understand that the Lions now have a draft and develop strategy. They are focused on adding talent that they believe will fit the mold and execute. And you recognize what contributions you got in 2023 from Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, and Sam Laporta. No longer can you have a lot of players just, you know, be players that you just sit on the bench. You got a guy in Broderick Martin that is a developmental player. You had a first-round pick in Jameson Williams, who they're bringing along slowly. But now at this juncture, the Detroit Lions are poised and ready to take that next step. The eyes of the entire NFL world are going to be on the Lions in 2024. And the goal is not only to get to the NFC title game, but to advance and get to the Super Bowl, which this year, I believe, is going to be held in the Superdome, which means that there should be added motivation for Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell to get the football team over the hump. So let's start with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes addressing the media this week at the Combine. What did I think? I thought the questions were, you know what, to be honest, a little bit dull, a little bit standard, a little bit obviously clear cut in regards to the strategy, why they believe the free agency strategy is going to be potentially looking to tier two guys and not making big splashes in free agency. Why do they have an organizational philosophy of draft and develop? Talking a little bit about the new coaches. So not a lot of spice. And obviously, there were questions directed at the free agents, why Jalen Reeves-Maybin was brought back, Jared Goff questions naturally, thought a great question about Jameson Williams, but not a lot of really news-making, newsworthy items in regards to things that maybe people that aren't paying attention would know about. So a lot of things that were talked about, pretty much standard operating procedure. You recognize that Brad Holmes is not going to divulge where he's at in the contract negotiations potentially with Jared Goff. Brad Holmes has always kept those negotiations close to the vest, and it'll be interesting to see. Recently, salary cap sites have started to kind of start to project what they think Jared Goff will earn, and probably the number that many are expecting is between $45 million and $47 annually. And that's probably going to be fair if the spot lands at $45 million. But Brad Holmes did not divulge where they're at in the negotiations, if they've started or anything like that. But there is, at this point, an expectation that Brad Holmes is going to negotiate with Jared Goff potentially to secure an extension that could potentially, in 2024, lower Goff's cap hit, as you can spread out signing bonuses over several years and you can make it a situation in which the next couple years after will be where the brunt of the salary cap hit is taken. And so if you're Brad Holmes and you're discussing the strategy and everyone understands that, you know, there is more salary cap monies available for free agents. And so many people at first thought, this is great news when that news broke that, oh my goodness, the salary cap went up over $30 million. That means the Lions can go on a shopping spree. Well, guess what? I thought that what Brad Holmes said in previous interviews and at the combine was really telling and honest. And he indicated, look, we're a football team that wants to draft and keep the players that are productive and a vital piece to the success of the franchise. And you saw the first contract that was given out was to Jalen Reeves-Maben, a reward for his production and being one of the best special teams player in the National Football League. So what does that mean? It means that a lot of the Lions free agents are going to secure some cap monies and they're going to get raises and you're going to have more monies allocated for Goff and Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Aiden Hutchinson down the road in a couple years, Jameson Williams, when his situation evolves. So you look at it and Brad Holmes says that, you know, a lot of times his comfort level is to fill needs in free agency, to fill holes in depth and in situations in which you feel like you need upgrades in free agency. And the draft is where you go with best football player available. And that's what you recognize the Lions have done. Last year, many people expected that they would address the defense earlier. And what did they do? The first pick was for Jahmyr Gibbs to shore up the running back spot. And Brad Holmes has kind of shown a pattern of liking SEC or explosive playmakers on offense. So based on what you heard from Dan Campbell and talking about, you know, really being risk averse in regards to free agency, I think that they should kind of cut that out. In my mind, if there's a player that has talent and you know can play football, you go out and get them. But here's the problem that is plaguing everybody that wants to go on a shopping spree, myself included. I definitely would want to go out and get Jalen Johnson and Chris Jones and bring in all the top guys that are out there, a Legarius Sneed, bring them on, you know? But at the same token, good football teams also have a draft and develop model, and they don't want to let good players leave their organization. That's why the franchise tag has been a pain in the side of Detroit Lions fans, because good players like a Jalen Johnson or good players that you would want, potentially Bryce Huff, the Jets said that they may not use the franchise tag on him. Legarius Sneed potentially is going to get tagged by the Chiefs. You recognize that good football players end up staying, the top tier one free agents end up staying with their football teams. So we are going to have to, and we will here at All Lions, we'll start shifting to look at tier two free agents that could come a little bit older. You know, I know many people are looking at Danielle Hunter, Gilmore from Dallas. You're looking at players that are a little bit older and could come in and contribute, need less money. So yeah, I do expect that the Lions are going to address those needs on defense in free agency. But here's my bold strategy based on learning about Brad Holmes, learning about Dan Campbell, and learning and kind of taking an educated guess regarding what the Lions could do. And here it is. My bold strategy that I think the Lions are going to deploy is go offense in their first two selections. That means that everybody's looking at Darius Robinson. Everybody's looking at the significant players like Braylon Trice. Those kind of players, I believe, are going to be gone. And if the Lions end up staying at 29, that might end up forcing Brad Holmes to take an offensive lineman. And I think that is a position that's not as sexy as people would think, but it would shore up a position of need. Now, in my mind, a bold strategy would be to find an avenue to have two first-round selections this year. And the two players that I would take and try to move up for and be aggressive and move around that first round, the first player that I think could solidify the Detroit Lions offense, wide out, Keon Coleman. You go out there and you get a big-bodied wide receiver that showed he can make plays at Florida State. Obviously, having him here early on in the backyard at Michigan State, you saw what he was able to do. Imagine pairing Keon Coleman with Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown with Sam Laporta. Who's going to stop that? If you're going to invest, and this is with the premise that Brad Holmes is going to dole out $45 million a year plus to Jared Goff. You know what? Your offense was great, but struggled mightily in the third quarter. Struggled mightily with consistently having explosive plays. Yeah, they moved the football. Yeah, they had opportunities. Yeah, they played great in the NFC title game. But I'm here today to make the pitch to go for it all on offense. make it so that your offense is so explosive, so difficult to manage for opposing defenses, that it doesn't matter what your defense does. It doesn't matter if your defense is ranked 19th, 25th. If the defense gives up a lot of points and yards, your offense can clearly overcome any obstacle when you solidify that position. Why not? If you're going to allocate $45 million a year for Jared Goff, you're going to want to give him as many weapons as possible, and that includes along the offensive line, potentially adding one or two players, one in the draft, one in free agency. You're going to want to add another explosive playmaker at the wideout spot, and that could even include a tight end. You know, James Mitchell has obviously come along, but you're always looking for competition and upgrades. Brock Wright, I think, has solidified himself as the second tight end, but James Mitchell could use some competition, adding another add another tight end for competition in that room. But I think the first two picks, my bold strategy would go offense in the first and second round. And if you need to use that extra third round pick to be able to move back into the first round, trade future assets, this is a big year. This is a big year for the Detroit Lions, and maybe it's a year where you're willing to give up next year's second or third and a player potentially to move up in this year's draft. If you think that, like myself, that Brad Holmes maybe will key in on Keon Coleman, and you look at it, and yeah, I think that it's great that Dan Campbell believes that Jameson Williams will push to be a full-time starter. But what does that mean? That means he's still got some more growing to do. Still got some more connection to develop with Jared Goff. It's getting better, but it's just not there yet. We have not seen it yet in regards to consistently being a receiver that can secure 5 to 10 receptions every single game. And everybody said it. They said, John, stop with the Jameson Williams talk. Stop with the expectation that he's going to get 7 to 10 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. That's just not within the framework of Ben Johnson's offense. Okay, great. I understand. Ben Johnson wants to spread it around, and you want to give more love maybe to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and then you got the tight end in Sam Laporta who needs to eat. You know what? More mouths to feed. Bring Detroit Keon Coleman, and Brad Holmes will not be disappointed. Big-bodied receiver, can get open. You saw the sheer number of touchdown grabs that he made. Those 50-50 balls definitely stood out. If you watch the film on Keon Coleman, he embodies everything that I think Jared Goff would like. You can throw him a ball a little bit outside of his catch radius, and he'll go and get it. He'll make it a nightmare matchup for opposing defense, especially in the NFC, when you're going to now battle with the Packers and Vikings and the Bears, who are all going to be retooling. Secure the offense. Make it so that Ben Johnson, in his probably this year, as we keep saying it for the second, third time, probably 2024 will be Ben Johnson's last year in Detroit. Give him as many weapons as he needs. Jared Goff, you're going to pay the man $45 million a year. Now, I want to sit here and say, Jared, look, if you're going to take an opportunity and you really want this football team to take it to the next step, maybe you take a little bit of a discount. Maybe you stay in that 38 to 42 range and ask for more years. That's how you make it up, you know? And maybe you take 4 years at $38 million as opposed to 3 years at 50. You know, you look at it and you say, you know what? Take a little bit less money. Let Brad Holmes add that one or two more players that you could use with that extra $7 million and upgrade this team, especially and add depth at linebacker along the defensive line. Maybe you get that one extra player, that mid-tier guy that's looking for a couple extra million. Now that's allocated because Jared Goff takes that hometown deal. So Jared, do you want to break the bank? Do you need the exact amount at $45 million? Do you need to be a player that's in the talks of setting the market? Or do you say to yourself, you know what, I could take a little bit less money. Just take the, you know, 4 years at 40. Take a Daniel Jones deal. Leave a little bit of extra money so that Brad Holmes can go out and enjoy the grocery store and not have to worry about the allocation in the future of what it would cost to cut you if you demand $50 million plus. I think that a hometown deal would benefit the Lions so greatly in this position. And I think it gives Jared Goff a lot of room too. Could you imagine now Jared Goff has another opportunity at a wideout? If the time comes and it's allocated and needed, that there's some monies available at the deadline and you want to add players, you can go out and secure financially players that can help this football team. I think it's win-win. $38 to $42 million. Accept it, take it, be willing to budge a little bit, and hopefully the Lions are, you know, looking at a situation in which they try and negotiate a contract that maybe is not as high as people are thinking, because the offense, I think, needs a couple more weapons in order to take that next step. You remember, the offense was great, but there still were times where it got bogged down, and coming out of the halftime break, scoring was down, mistakes were up, and it just seemed like the adjustments that were made by the opposing defensive coordinators just outdid what the Lions were able to do. And inevitably, that third period, that third quarter, ended up just being a situation that was not helpful. Now, the team was good enough to overcome that in the fourth, overcome all the mistakes, overcome all the nonsense that was created, the leads that were blown, or the games that were probably closer than they needed to be because the third quarter was not as good. So there are offensive players that the Lions can get in the first round that could potentially allow them to really take the next step forward. So don't be against it. Don't sit here and remember what Brad Holmes said. A big takeaway was from his season-ending presser. Don't be shocked at the moves that we make, and don't read into all the positional value talk. He may even take a running back if he finds another explosive back, a big back. I don't think I see that value in the first round. But if there's a player, and that's what Brad Holmes has said, that fits the need and is a good football player, that has grit, that is out of the world football IQ, and that will fit into this locker room, the Lions will take him at any position. And so to me, that signals potentially a look at offense in the first round. And not a lot of people are talking about that. Everybody's talking about Darius Robinson, Chop Robinson. They're talking about Braylon Trice. They're talking about players that are going to fit the defensive line. And I could see that when you have a new defensive line coach that's a veteran. But I think you look at it like this. There's a player on the current Lions roster that may make it so that they wait and look for more value in later rounds. And that player is Broderick Martin. Broderick Martin had a developmental year, and they took a player that first year, basically an NFL redshirt season, didn't see the field all that much, and he's expected to do some things. And you also got to remember Josh Pascal, who's also somebody that's expected to take another step forward. You also got to remember James Houston. That's a guy that's going to be hopefully healthy and be part of a productive defensive line unit. You have three players that are expected and probably higher up on the depth chart than a rookie would be. And so are you going to be willing to move up for a Darius Robinson? Does he blow? Does he do everything in the interview process to blow everybody away in the coaching staff to make Brad Holmes move up? It appears he has all the traits. He is doing and understands exactly what the Lions want to do, which is to have a violent, aggressive, confident swagger. And he understands everything that needs to take place. Neyland as well. When you turn on his tape, whew, looks great as well. Braylon Trice. I'm confident that if the Lions do go on defense in the first round, they'll be okay. I think the position that's just the most challenging to potentially target in the first round is defensive backs. I just think all the better ones that are going to end up producing early on will be taken already. The Tyrion Arnolds of the world, the Cooper DeJeans, I think they'll be gone, in my opinion. So you look at it, you don't want to settle. So to me, you be aggressive. If you find those two football players, and my bold strategy again, to remind everybody, is to move up in the draft, make a deal, sacrifice some capital, and get some players. And that might end up, you might end up needing to make a couple trades to have two first round picks. You might end up just staying at 29 and moving up one or two spots to get the player that you need, if it's Keon Coleman or somebody else that you deem to be spectacular. If you find a wideout that you feel can be a game wrecker, a guy that can instantly bond with Jared Goff, and hopefully Goff is giving his input and being a little forceful and saying, hey, more offensive weapons, more compliments. Could you imagine your wide receiving core involves a great young rookie that's talented, big body, and then you have Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond as depth players, whew, you know, you might end up having to move on from Josh Reynolds if that's the case, if you find that there's an upgrade at that spot. Because you recognize that some of Josh's targets are going to probably get spread out and go to the likes of the tight ends, Sam Laporta, and potentially Brock Wright, and then obviously more touches for Jahmyr Gibbs as you see his development. So there's going to be some very interesting, a very interesting look at how the football is distributed in the Lions offense in 2024. But I look at it and I agree. Many people are wondering about the Lions strategy, draft and develop. Do they need to go out and make a bunch of big splashes? Look, I understand the need and the desire that people would want to have for LeJarius Sneed. But I think that if you can go out and find a tier two free agent that can fit this mold and come in and be productive, that's the case. It's going to be tough. And it's interesting, Brad Holmes did say that he could watch cornerback film all day long. He loves monitoring what the defensive backs are doing in his evaluation. So hopefully he can find one in the draft, maybe in the later rounds, and one in free agency that you can bring in and play right away. And is that LeJarius Sneed? Is it worthwhile to trade draft capital for LeJarius Sneed? I think it'd be worthwhile, but the extension that he's going to demand probably is going to be something that could be precarious for the Lions, especially given the fact that they do want to reward their own guys. Are they wanting to pony up for LeJarius Sneed? I'm all for it. I would not be opposed to adding a Super Bowl winner from that defense. I think you're not obviously probably going to end up being able to get Chris Jones, who represents swagger, who represents the violence you're looking for. But a defensive back that can do some things, be physical, I think he fits the mold in regards to what Aaron Glenn would like in a football player. So you need to, in my mind, if you're the Detroit Lions, you can't be so to the point where you only want your own guys. Because in the end, bottom line, to get over the hump, big-time players make big-time plays in the Super Bowl. And right now, the best player in the world is a quarterback in the AFC in Patrick Mahomes. And how are you going to defend that? You know, you're going to need to have a solid defense, and you're going to need to have an explosive offense that when you get a lead can hold on. Because clearly, the 49ers with their prolific offense had 10-point lead, wasn't enough. So if you're the Lions and you have a young rookie and you have a plethora of weapons, that gives you a lot of cachet to be able to go into a big game and just do your thing. And you looked at, you know, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys and you looked at the tight end that they had, the quarterback, the two great wide receivers, and obviously Emmitt Smith and a great offensive line, along with a stout defense, this is a great year. I think the confidence level should be there that the Lions are going to take that step forward and compete with a better schedule. I'm looking forward to it. No longer are you going to play a second and third place schedule. You're going to play a first place schedule, which should get this team primed and ready for a postseason berth. And you, hopefully the key, I believe, for the Lions in 2024 is secure that number one seed. It's going to be tough, but if you can secure that number one seed, there's no team, I believe, that's going to come into Ford Field with that crowd, with the Lions team, the way it's built. There's no team in the NFL, in the NFC, that's going to come in there and leave Ford Field with the victory. So if you can secure home field advantage, gives you a pathway to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. So for the Lions, I do think that their strategy clearly works, draft and develop. And Dan Campbell is asked about it, and he says that good football teams clearly focus on the draft, and they end up keeping their own and developing and having good coaches take care of these players and get them to the point where they can be successful. But remember that good players as well can come in and be supplemented. The Rams did it. The Rams were able to shore up positions of need when they had their run. Good football teams have been able to add talent at key spots. And I think if you're Brad Holmes, you got to make it so that, look, we got to be able to sustain a couple guys from outside this organization that come in and handle business. Nothing wrong with big-time personalities that are getting paid, as long as they have talent. And good football players obviously clearly recognize that if you're competitive and you earn a big contract, you want to be able to keep that contract and potentially, if you're young, secure another contract. So I understand the money aspect that could derail teams' motivations, but at the same token, I think that the risk and the risk versus the reward favors the Lions. You got a good infrastructure. You got good leadership in that locker room. You're going to step to Alex Anzalone and tell him that you're not going to, that you're going to loaf on defense. Yeah. Okay. If CeeDee Deuce is in that locker room, you're going to loaf with CeeDee Deuce in that locker room. Yeah. Okay. You'll be called out faster than I am for trolling online. Good Lord. So I trust the leaders in the Lions locker room to be able to handle whoever is brought there. I think it's at that point at this time. And seriously, is a free, if you have the A-plus head coach that is graded to be the third most popular coach in the National Football League, are you going to have a player loaf on this football team? Quickly, within one film review, a player that doesn't give the effort is going to be sitting right across from Dan Campbell, and he's going to ask, what's this? Clearly, the Lions are not going to tolerate somebody that doesn't toe the line and handle business. Those guys end up leaving. Those guys end up getting benched. And I think the Lions' standard has been set. Grit, play hard, be consistent, be a good teammate. And I don't think that precludes this football team from going out there and adding big-time players. The problem is all the big-time players get capped. That's the problem. Are the Lions going to take a splash? L'Jarius Sneed would fit the bill. You know, in the coming weeks, we'll look to see if Danielle Hunter ends up, you know, talk ends up being that he ends up being here, a guy in his 30s. Maybe the Lions make a splash with the Jets and Huff because many people look at his game and feels like it translates well to what the Lions are going to be looking at. So this football team is primed. And I think open up your mind. That's the theory today from the All Lions Bang the Table podcast, that if Brad Holmes looks at this landscape and sees good offensive players, don't be surprised if the Lions invest early picks on offense. That would get me to bang the table. Keon Coleman, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Brock Wright. The happiest man on earth would be Jared Goff if the Lions ended up drafting Keon Coleman. Maybe he'll be there. Early mock drafts have him just ahead of us to Dallas. Maybe he'll fall. Maybe there'll be an opportunity to trade up for him. But in the end, the Detroit Lions need to be aggressive in this draft, and they need to find players that will contribute similarly to the rookie class of 2023. And if they do, then all their dreams and hopes will be in front of them, and they'll have the reality of hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. This has been the All Lions Bang the Table podcast. Make sure you check out our coverage. Thank you for all your support. Allowed me to take a great vacation. Thank you for everybody that's been reading, checking out our draft profiles, checking out our combine previews all the month of February. I look forward to broadcasting and bringing you more great content at All Lions in the month of March. Anywhere that you subscribe to podcast, definitely check out the All Lions podcast. We appreciate everybody's support. I'm the Doc, John McEnroe.